Everyone, guess what? You're listening to Comedy Film Nerds episode 407.
407. That's pretty impressive.
It is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I never thought we'd make it past 300.
I thought we'd get to 306 or 308.
Yeah, and then that would have been it. Yeah.
We would skip 307 for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why we would do that. But that's...
And then we would jump to 600.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're halfway to 814, everybody, yeah. So it's an exciting episode.
You guys have earned it.
You really have. Mm-hmm. You were a third of the way to 1221,
nice.
So it's a lot of stuff is happening.
Dropping a lot of math.
You know what I mean? A quarter of the way to 1628. I can do multiples of 7 and 4 all day long.
It must be the new studio.
If the new studio improves my math.
Yeah, that's impressive.
It's tax season.
It is.
So.
It is tax season.
There you go.
My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. Welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds podcast. We got a big movie to talk about. That's right, 50 Shades Freed.
Yes, we all went to the Thursday midnight screening.
Yes, and then we'll also be talking about Black Panther.
Oh, really? Was there a comic book movie this past weekend?
Yeah, with no competition that will dominate February.
That's, so brilliant. We'll get into that. We might also talk about Hostels.
Yes.
You talked about it, but...
I did.
Let's introduce our guest.
Okay. First-time guest.
Another first-time guest. Mm-hmm. Also a comic that will be on the first episode of the FNX Comedy Experience premiering March 9th.
The first episode.
First.
That's an honor.
She was...
First comic?
No, she was the second, but she was the guinea pig group, I call them.
Nice.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the very funny Sheila Shalaki.
Yeah. The crowd goes wild. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. It's such an honor.
It was great having you on that show. And it was you, Jim Rule, Laura House, and Mark Yaffe. And it was you guys had to deal with some. It was like a pilot episode. Let's call it what it was. They had to deal with some growing pains of production. But
yeah, but that was okay. It was fun being in on the ground floor. I don't mind it at all. It was an honor. Yeah,
you had a nice crowd though. The first show,
it was great. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun, and it was really cool. And their episode is done, and so it looks great. And you know. What's going to be?
Fingers crossed for March 9th.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's hope television doesn't get
blow up.
To stay on the air.
Let's hope that the radio tower at FNX out in San Bernardino doesn't
burst into flames. Knock on all this wood.
Yeah, knock on it.
So should we talk about, you said you want to go Hostels first?
Well, yeah, let's actually talk about Hostels. Mm-hmm.
Now, I liked it when I saw it.
Speaking of Native Americans.
So, yeah. Okay. What did you think?
Let me put this a little bit into context. I was on a really bad date, and he didn't know that this was based on an actual true story. So
did he know you were Native?
I don't know. The comments that were coming out of his mouth afterwards, I was like, what is this guy's problem? Anyway, we're not seeing each other ever again. But he was like, well, you sure picked a feel-good movie. And I was like, it's based on an actual event. I'm not sure what all he had to play with other than the truth. Also, I happen to know and respect the Native characters in the film. I saw an interview that Wes Studi did where he talks about he always plays the good guy, even when it's the bad guy. He has to find kind of the heart of the character and the reasons they do what they do. And I'm not sure that this guy knew the entire backstory of American history or something, because he's like, it was really depressing. It's a movie in the West, and it's cowboys and, quote, Indians.
Yeah.
What do you think? Did you read a history book?
So. Boy, this whole genocide really is a bummer.
Yeah, it's so sad. sad.
I'll tell you, right out of the gate, this movie too, it just drops you into the carnage. Like, like you don't get a chance to catch your breath at the beginning. It's brutal.
Through the whole thing. Opening. Through the whole thing, it really does tug at your heart. And I, with all of that being said, it sounded really crazy, but I enjoyed it, but only because it showed a lot of nuances. I don't feel that it was really black and white. It was 50 Shades of Grey. it wasn't, there were no real, I guess, quote, good guys and bad guys involved. Right. We're all human. And that's what I really liked, was the element of we fucked up, so did you. How do we manage to live on this big rock on planet Earth and not hate each other? And that's what I really liked about the movie. I also really enjoyed seeing a Native American on a billboard. So that was why I never see that. And it was great. Although I will say I'm still a big advocate and proponent of, one of these days we will be on billboards and not have to be in leathers and feathers. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed it thoroughly, wholeheartedly. When it first opened, like you said, this the very first scene, I wasn't quite sure I'd be able to stomach it, because I was like, oh, great. This is being told from the white perspective again. Here we go. We weren't just these demons. There were reasons that happened. And I feel like it very shortly cut to, they're being held in behind bars for no reason other than the color of their skin. This guy is a prisoner of war. It made a lot of sense, and I really did enjoy watching the evolution of the characters, seeing the heart evolve, understanding why, and that was the case. We were at war. We weren't American citizens. We
fighting to protect your land.
It was genocide culture. Yeah. Our loved ones. And I really enjoyed seeing that finally, displayed in a very three-dimensional way.
Right.
That was cool. I think it's a thing. I've talked a lot about with Micah, right, who works at FNX, that helped, that gave me the opportunity to do the comedy show and to talk to a lot of Native comics. Obviously, we've shot 6 episodes. That's the thing that's been so amazing about doing the comedy series, is hearing about the representation. Like you say, it's always just leathers and feathers, and it's always just, the crazy savages, and it's like, it's never from the point of view of, well, how they're... We were,
This movie makes Dances with Wolves look like a walk in the park.
Oh, it is. Dances with Wolves is a Disney animated movie.
It has
a white lady playing a Native woman.
Dances with Wolves is not, exactly.
But it makes sense because it's like, well, there was an invading army. People were trying to defend their own land.
And it also shows the brutality of just living in that time.
Right.
You have a cabin in the middle of nowhere. And you could be set upon by Indians, bandits,
wolves,
anything at a time.
Imagine all of that being in a teepee.
Yes.
We had the same worry, only we didn't have cabins.
Right. And there was, there wasn't always the cavalry to come save you. Mm. But just the fact that you're out in a cabin with your family and you have one gun to protect you from a slaughter that could come at any time, and it was a brutal time, and it just showed what I like you were saying about this movie, is it showed all different sides of the brutality and all different sides of the humanity. It had some problems in the second act that we had talked about earlier, but all in all, I thought it deserved to be on the best picture list more than Phantom Thread, for sure. Anyway.
These Phantom Thread says nothing.
Yeah.
These Phantom Thread has no commentary, no social, nothing that's relevant today.
It's not, that would be okay if it was a watchable movie. And just the fact that it's an incredibly boring movie alone should disqualify it from the Oscars.
Let me ask you this question, Sheila, and then we'll move on to the next film. Did you, I don't know how many Oscar contenders you've seen, where do you think as a movie or any of the actors or directors or writers with Hostels deserve nominations?
It would be nice for once, yeah. I think if, what was it? The big, I'm drawing a blank here.
Christian Bale?
No, not Christian Bale, sorry. I'm going back to the big Western that was nominated. It was,
Unforgiven?
What, like a decade? Yes. If that can be the fuck at the Oscars, this, like, 10 times over. Big time, yeah. So, I don't know. It was a bit of a disappointment. It would just be nice. And I don't know if I'm just a little biased as a Native American, or First Nations, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I wish. Maybe. Fingers crossed. One of these days.
So. Cool.
So, all right. Let's talk about Black Panther. Boy, Marvel, I'll tell you, they can do no wrong right now. I don't want to jinx it, but this was a really fun movie. Went with the family. All four of us went to see it. And, you know, when it's a range, we're in our mid to late 40s. I have a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old. Everyone loved it. Everyone really loved the film.
It does that thing that Marvel does so well, which is Marvel has never done. Each one of their films is a unique genre within the comic book character.
Yes.
So this was sort of like almost like a Lord of the Rings type film. Like it was. They've never done a movie like this that covered this thing. And then, I mean, the entire cast is black.
Except for Freeman.
Martin Freeman. And even him, I was like, do we really need him?
You know what? That's interesting. Like, I felt the same way. I felt like Martin Freeman really kind of feels shoehorned in.
Why do we need him in the movie? Just to say, oh, hey, there's one white guy?
There's a CIA operative in the movie. But like, well, does he really need to be there? Is he doing a lot? Is he moving anything forward? Now, it's interesting. When he's introduced, this isn't a spoiler. There is a casino scene where a weapons deal is going down with the vibranium. And the CIA being involved... completely believable. Sure, completely. Sure. I can see, like, you know, there's some kind of plot to catch the arms dealer or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I could see him being in that scene. But then as the movie progressed, I'm like, well, now I just feel like they just had him for a couple extra days and they kept him in the movie because his character didn't have a lot to do after that.
And the other characters are so much more interesting, like those bald women that were like the security team.
Well, the security team, and then there was also the general.
Right.
And you also have...
She was a badass. Yeah. It's just like, I want to see more of that.
Right.
Like, I don't need to see Martin Freeman fumbling around.
The thing that surprised me, and I didn't realize this, because you don't know this from the trailer, like, it looked like only a small part of the movie was going to actually take place in Wakanda, and the rest would kind of open up into the rest of the world, like, was it Korea? Where would they go? Seoul?
Korea.
They were in Korea, and... but it wasn't. Most of the movie actually took place in Wakanda. And, we had a couple of trips outside of it, but mostly that's where we were. And some of those trips outside of Wakanda were flashbacks.
Yeah, I liked that it was all in Wakanda. And I liked, and we'll go into the spoiler rep that we'll release later this week, but...
It felt like
Michael B. Jordan's character, the social commentary he was bringing into it, I don't want to spoil it.
As a villain.
As a villain was like, I love when a villain... isn't just 100% bad.
Right.
When there's a justification, kind of like Sheila, what you were talking about in terms of the characters in Hostels and Wes Studi as his process as an actor of bringing in a humanity and a motivation. I remember reading an interview with, I'm blanking on this actor's name. He played Mussolini. He was in The Heat of the Night. Mm-hmm. What's that classic actor's name? The cop in The Heat of the Night. Come on.
Oh, Sidney Poitier?
Carol O'Connor. No, not from the TV series. From the movie. The guy who played Carol O'Connor's character in the movie. This is the worst. Oh, God. Classic actor. Anyway, this is the worst. But he played Mussolini once. Mm. And he said...
Look it up for us, Aaron.
Yeah, sorry. I don't want to mess with this computer. But as an actor, he was like, how do you play Mussolini? He was evil. Mm-hmm. He was just a torturer. Right. How do you do it? And he said, the actor said, I'm doing everything for my daughter. So that was my motivation to give the actor humanity so that it is a three-dimensional character that's believable. And that's what it sounds like happened in Hostiles, which made Hostiles good. And that's what I liked, because this is a comic book movie. It's easy to make the villain just bad guy. Comes in, right. Crazy haircut, mm-hmm. says crazy things, blows everything up.
Now,
but he was so justified, and his character was so kind of conflicted. And
I will say this about some trivia with Michael B. Jordan. He kept to himself while on set, reasoning that his character, Killmonger, is distant and in conflict with the other characters. You know, as an actor, can't you just show up and do your job?
Yeah, that's taking it a bit far. Well, I don't know.
You really, you know, it's like when Jared Leto was playing jokes on everyone else during Suicide Squad, because that's what the
Jim
Joker
Carrey
would do.
Right.
Like, yeah, you're an actor. Just show up and do your job. You don't have to be an asshole on set.
It's their method, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, that's your method, yeah.
But still, I agree with you. As an actor, I wouldn't want to be on set with people who are that way, but I guess... if at the end of the day, whatever it takes to make a good picture,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
suffer for your art.
I agree with that. Like the overall, like I agree with that. Like, but I'm always reminded of Sir Laurence Olivier and Dustin Hoffman when they were doing Marathon Man, and Dustin Hoffman was like wearing weights around the set to feel the weight of the world, and Laurence mm-hmm. Olivier goes, Mr. Hoffman, perhaps you should try acting.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Aren't you, if you're an actor, isn't that your thing? You can.
Right.
It's like comics. I don't need to be joking around backstage 24. I can just like walk on stage and
it's quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or when I meet someone or like I'm out on a date and they're like, but you're supposed to be funny. You're supposed, I'm like, I am a human being. I am three dimensional as well. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I want to go see Hostiles on a date.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, hello.
If you're a chef, you're not going to be cooking all the time.
No.
Yeah. Or accountant. Like, hold on. Let me math this for you really fast. Yeah,
I've got a great spreadsheet I want you to see on our date.
I only date guys who carry around PowerPoints. Sorry. This will never work.
Do you have the Quicken app? I do.
So, Aaron, did you find out who that was?
I'm on microphone now, and it's Rod Steiger.
Rod Steiger, of course. Right. So Rod Steiger was in the Heat of the Night film. Right. He's amazing. And he played Mussolini. And he gave this great story of like, this is how I got into playing Mussolini. And so, yeah, it was cool. That's what I liked about Michael B. Jordan. And again, this is what Marvel does so well. Big budget, big cool special effects, chases, car chases, explosions.
But the movie had a heart.
It had a heart. It had a story. It had three acts. It had well-developed characters.
You know what? I really felt even the production design, like the attention to detail of what Wakanda looked like, because it was a technologically advanced society that was hidden from the rest of the world. So when you look at it, it looked like after you got past like the tree barrier that was like an illusion, it looked like a weird African version of Blade Runner, the way you know you've got almost like the flying cars and you know the trains, and you've got the high rises and all the lights, and I thought it was really interesting just from even a production design standpoint, like they really did a nice like job with the attention to detail, just with all the eye candy. Now, if none of that would matter if you didn't have an interesting story or good characters too, which you do, I'll tell you. The supporting characters were so strong, it almost made like the actual Black Panther character feel a little more supporting, because you had, you know, the mother, you had the sister, you had the general, you had all, like you were saying, the all the warrior women, and then you had.
It's why, to me, it's what made Martin Freeman stand out is like.
Well, we don't need another character. We have
another
a lot.
Character who's kind of.
We have warring tribes. We have like inside Wakanda. We had that as well, and then we also had you know, the arms dealer, Claw. I think his name was.
Yes.
So you have him as well as a villain, and played by Andy Serkis too.
Which
and
he was great.
He's great. He's great even without a mocap suit. He is really fun.
It was
to watch.
Great to see him like play that creepy bad guy.
Right.
This big,
right.
Evil Goonie dude.
And what I love about Marvel too is like, you know, there's always Easter eggs in previous films. They're like, oh, that's the guy from Age of Ultron,
right?
You know, that would that was like interested in the vibranium, and you know, all the Marvel nerds are like, well, that's gonna like myself, we're like, that's gonna come back later. You know, we're gonna hear about Wakanda and Black Panther and vibranium again. What I really liked about the movie is the social commentary that it raised, and it didn't take the easy way out, which I liked. Like, and I don't want to give too much away. We'll get into it more in the spoiler app, but what it did was like it's one of those movies too. Well, it's a popcorn movie. We can't really solve anything or, you know, or fix anything or take any chances. And it did. It mm-hmm. did. It did make some nice commentary.
Yeah, there's some, I mean, there's like, again, yeah, we don't want to, I'm going to spoil it here, but there's a lot of like holding one percenters accountable for the situation mm-hmm. of the inequities of wealth in this world currently that they air out in this film, which I like, yes. you know, it doesn't have to just be, you know, bad guy has bomb that will blow up the world or just, right. you know, just.
And now we have a ticking clock.
Right. Red wire, blue yeah. wire, you know, kind of thing or whatever.
And speaking of art imitates life, like we're talking about, this was an interesting piece of trivia. The Black Panther was created in July of 1966, mm-hmm. 2 months before the founding of the Black Panther Party. Many people mistakenly assumed the name referred to the party, so the character was renamed the Black Leopard. However, neither the readers nor the creators cared for that title, and it didn't last long. They changed it back to Black Panther.
Yeah, I mean, the real story behind this is
Black Leopard doesn't have the same ring to it.
When Stanley was creating this, he was getting flack from whatever, white people or whites, oh, you can't do this. And so he decided then, I'm going to make the Black Panther and Wakanda the most powerful people yeah. in the whole Marvel universe.
In Trump America, I'm shocked. that's stunning.
It is stunning.
Wow.
But like, yeah.
Was this a Stan Lee created character, Black Panther?
Yeah, he did. In the 60s when there was, especially during all the civil rights stuff, and some people were like, you know, you can't, when the comic came out and then, as you say, shortly thereafter, the Black Panther Party came out. He was mm-hmm. taking a lot of flack in the 60s. So as he kept writing the character, he's like, oh, I'm going to make him more powerful.
Nice.
Which is great.
There you go.
So yeah, I if you're a Marvel fan, you'll love this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So.
I haven't seen the movie, but I do want to say it is really exciting to hear about how you describe this technologically advanced society. Because I know that a lot of things that we have nowadays, including sliding doors and cell phones were inspired by Star Trek. Mm. So let's come out with the flying cars already.
Yeah.
Yay.
Alleviate
comic
traffic.
Book nerds, get on it. Bring on the technology.
Oh, if we had flying cars, imagine how great traffic in LA would be. You could just get great. Home in 15 minutes.
Mm. Right.
You could get to Santa Monica in less than an hour. From here.
Right. That would be good. One can dream.
So let's talk about the next film. Oh. Our guest got to see 50 Shades Freed. Now,
got to. Yeah.
Got to, yeah. Yeah, had to, maybe.
Well, it was Galentine's Day.
Yeah. Now, I saw the first two. I haven't seen this one. So I'm really, really curious
to
see.
You feel like only half a person,
I know.
Half a man.
I have
only
to know.
Seeing two out of three.
I have to know. How did the whole thing wrap up?
Oh, God. Okay. Spoiler alert. No. If you watch the trailer or have read the books, it's not going to ruin it for you. They get married.
What?
Yeah. Because that is the happy ending that all women want, right? Get married and have a baby. So, yeah. Hats off for, you know. Perpetuating that. I went because I'd seen the first two so I could have an intelligent conversation with, you know, women who like this guy. Not a fan per se of this Christian dude. The only thing he has going for him is that he has a shit ton of money. And I think that's where the whole fantasy comes into play. And I will give it props for finally allowing women to have a sex drive. You know, there's a big like backlash in this whole thing with slut shaming and rape culture. And so finally we have a movie that allows a woman to be sexy and like sex. And it's a part of a healthy fucking relationship. So what took it so long? I don't know. But this guy is possessive and
but unfortunately,
controlling.
With those positive elements, this is the movie you get.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, we could do better. I mean, we have a ways to go. Thank you. Exactly. For yes. So anyway, you know, he's possessive and controlling. And I just can't. In the middle of the movie, I'm the worst person to take to a movie that I'm not enjoying because I'll just sit there and make jokes through the whole thing. And they have a moment. I hope I'm not spoiling this for anyone, but they have a moment with ice cream. And, you know, they're like playing with ice cream on each other. And he's like, my turn. And I was like, that better be yogurt. You don't do that down there. So just a little little sugar isn't good in that area, ladies. So we've all learned.
It's like giving
something
a dog chocolate
today.
Yeah,
you don't exactly. You do not. Yes, thank you. So anyway, that was me at the movies watching this movie. But yeah, marriage and a baby, and isn't that happily ever after?
And a playroom.
Right? Yeah, in a red dungeon. Room. Yeah, in a sex dungeon. My friend's like, so what was your favorite part? And I was like, well, I really like red. my room is all red. And so I'm like, the red room? But not for why you think. So, yeah. Anyway.
I after Black Panther, I poked in and watched like the first 10 minutes of this film.
Pervert.
No, not for those reasons.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure. Sorry to interrupt.
Because I got to say, the dialogue, I was like, wow. And I was like, I've never watched one of these movies. I was like, wow, this guy's not that great of an actor. And then
he's hot. That's sure, all we need.
I know. I was like, yeah. I get it. Just have him walk around without a shirt on. I understand this movie's for women. It's not for me. But even the sex scene, I was like, this isn't that. I was like, this isn't that sexy. Like, it's not. I was like, this isn't.
Well, it is, again, it's for the ladies. Right. It's not for the guys. You guys are used to something a little bit different. And so I will give it props for at least catering to a different market. Finally, it's just not really my cup of tea. Yeah. But, you know, I experienced it. As I felt it was my obligation as a woman to go and watch it. So, you know.
Well, we say it a lot on this show. This movie was
obligation fulfilled.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
It's okay. A trilogy that's like for a specific demographic.
Yeah.
And they love it, great.
Like, it's reviewer proof.
Yeah, like I'm not going to the Saw movies. Those movies aren't for me either. So it's just it's so good for them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a couple sponsors for this episode. This is we have a new sponsor. A new sponsor, Masterclass.
Ooh.
Now, I've seen these ads pop up periodically.
Oh, yeah,
and
I
they
have.
Came and knocked on the Comedy Film Nerds ad door. So imagine
we
have an ATC door. Imagine learning film history from Martin Scorsese, photography from Annie Leibovitz, or cooking from Gordon Ramsay. Well, now you can. The Masterclass. Masterclass produces online classes taught by the best in the world. Each class is shot with cinematic production quality and offers on-demand lessons loaded with exclusive content you can only find on Masterclass. I mean, it's got like
I saw Steve Martin on.
I was gonna say it's like because first when you think of this, I'm like, well, it's just gonna be somebody. It's like when you get like a comedy class, it's like it's gonna be
who's this guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Some road act.
But literally, it's screenwriting from Aaron Sorkin, comedy from Steve Martin, and acting from Helen Mirren. I'm like, oh well, yeah, I should be learning from these people.
It's and I saw the form. I saw part of the Steve Martin one, and it's very sort of informal, and. I was like, wow, it feels like you're just like hanging out, having lunch with Steve Martin while he gives you comedy tips or something.
Yeah,
so it was pretty cool.
And you can also get, if you're interested in more than one class, let's say you want something from Steve Martin, a little bit of comedy, then a little bit of acting from Helen Mirren, you can get an all-access pass where you can unlock every class from over 30 masters, all for the price of two. Comedy Film Nerds listeners, that's you. Can get the all-access pass at masterclass.com/CFN. Learn from the best in the world at masterclass.com/CFN. Masterclass.com/CFN.
Use it.
Yep. And ladies and gentlemen, returning sponsor.
God love them.
Casper Mattresses.
I have a Casper mattress.
I know, and you love it still.
I love it. I love it.
And they come in the...
If I ever build a red sex dungeon, I'm going to use a Casper.
I'm building one. This is good. I'm going to take notes.
It's free shipping and returns. It gets delivered right to your door in that small, how do they do that, sized box. I'd love it if they actually sent it to you in a box shaped like an egg so you could hatch your mattress.
Yeah, I guess that's the next generation, Chris. But,
put it in water.
Yeah.
And just watch it grow.
Yeah, just add water. Yeah, it's fantastic. No, that is the thing that is amazing. This box shows up. You cut it open. In like 20 minutes or so, it opens up. It's memory foam. It's very comfortable. I love it.
And so the other thing that's great is that they also have now two other mattresses. They have the Wave and the Essential. The Wave features a patent-pending premium support system to mirror the natural shape of your body, and the Essential has a streamlined design at a price that won't keep you up at night. And the experts at Casper work tirelessly to make a quality sleep surface that cradles your natural geometry in all the right places.
Hello.
Yes, 50 shades of Casper.
Get your geometry cradled.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, are we going to let everyone pay full price?
No, we're not animals.
No, of course not.
What are we going to do?
That would be ridiculous. So you're going to get $50 off select mattresses by visiting casper.com/comedyfilmnerds and using Comedy Film Nerds as the coupon code at checkout. Terms and conditions apply, Graham.
Of course they do.
Yeah. Why wouldn't
they? We live in a society of laws.
Yeah. We live in a society of terms and conditions.
You can't use that $50 every single time and get a free mattress, basically.
Yeah. So, they're not going to give you $50 in cash and you go to the store and buy...
No, it's not going to work. Terms and conditions, people. Come on. Casper.com/comedyfilmnerds and use the promo code comedyfilmnerds.
Speaking of $50, guys, the $50 Patreon ad tier.
Oh my God, that was a great transition.
You like
Graham.
That smooth as silk professional yes. broadcaster? This is my on camera voice. The Audacity Performing Arts Project is a nonprofit working to bring after school performing arts programs to public schools. Audacity's primary goal is to serve those schools who cannot afford our services. Aww. Audacity, isn't that nice?
I love it. Right? Yes.
Relies on community donations to keep our programs alive. So if you're a CFN fan and you support Audacity with a $25 donation, normally $30, you're going to receive an amazing Audacity t-shirt. Visit cfn.audacityperformingarts.org to learn more. Boom.
I would do it.
Do we have another Patreon supporter, Graham, for the ad tier?
No.
We do. We have one more. We have two. We have supply and demand investing.
Shut you down.
Surprise! You do.
Supply and demand investing.com because planning for retirement should be as easy as planning your next vacation. It just takes longer. Supplyanddemandinvesting.com.
All right.
Wow.
Guys. For the $50 tier, you get a. We'll read your URL.
Yeah, you'll get it.
You'll get it read. We'll support your geometry.
We'll read the shit out of it.
You son of a bitch.
You know what we're going to do now? We're going to watch some trailers.
Ooh, let's watch some trailers. Let's go to the big screen.
Hold on, I got to put cans on.
Oh, yeah. Put the, let's go. And we're going to skip the ad.
Please skip the ad, yes.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go.
I am someone who wakes up in a different body every day. Always someone my age. I'm never too far from the last, never the same person twice. And I have absolutely no control over any of it. The day
Neither
that Amy
we.
Shadowed you at school, I was Amy. And the day that you went to the beach with Justin, I was Justin.
What?
It's not possible. It is.
It shouldn't be.
Hey, it's me.
Every day of your life, you've just woken up and...
Just tried to live that day for that person.
That sounds really lonely.
It isn't, because I know what makes each person different and what makes everyone the same.
That's illegal.
Wow.
Why are you doing this?
Day we met, I felt something I've never felt before, and I don't want to let that go.
Yeah, the cliche.
I am so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
You know what this movie should do? Take itself more seriously.
I'm in love with someone who wakes up in a different body every day. Always the same age, never the same person twice.
Wow.
For such a bright, beautiful, kind, funny
Bang.
Person.
Michael, we are gonna miss our flight.
My family's supposed to fly to Honolulu today. Michael. If I go tomorrow, I wake up as a kid who's not flying back here. Oh my God, this kid does not exercise.
What about all the broken wow. happy ever after?
Talk about a movie that's Nicholas. Not for you.
Oh, wow.
Who even was that?
Is this Nicholas Sparks? Is that who wrote this?
Oh,
it's not done yet.
Oh,
we're just
done.
All, we're
oh,
done?
No, I think we've seen enough.
Okay. Is it going to change?
Everybody's done.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've seen enough. This came on before Black Panther, this trailer. And
what?
Clearly, it is meant for a tween audience. My daughter turned to me and went, "That looks really stupid."
Wow, yeah. I will say this, that with my dating experience, I would like to pretend maybe it is the same person, just in various different bodies. But that's, it's a woman's fantasy, guys, that they're like, I'm really not fucking up and have hundreds of different guys, you know? It's just one person. It's my soulmate in different bodies.
Believe me, I feel the same way. Yeah. Somebody's soul keeps taking on all these different disaster women that I've dated. Like, here's one that's got a drug problem. Yeah. Here's one you got to get a restraining order against. Yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah.
So you think that's going to be your big reveal? It's like one of them's going to go, surprise, it's me again,
Mine
Graham.
Mine feels more like a horror show. Yeah. Like
a Saw movie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
You should go watch. Yeah. Get some pointers.
What's his name? Puzzle Face or whatever is
gonna, Puzzle Face.
Whatever they
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw. Yeah. Puzzle Face keeps showing up in different bodies going, this time I'm going to let you believe I'm really mellow and cool. And then I'm going to go nuts after 2 years. You know what I mean? It's going to be fun. So I don't want to keep dating Puzzle Face.
They're going to take off the Mission Impossible mask at the end.
Yes. All right. Let's watch another trailer.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll actually get through this entire one.
This one feels like it's going to be a little more.
Yeah.
There's a little more hope.
Okay.
That there's good movies out there in the world. All right, here we go.
Fuck up everything. We know this already.
Have power! Yeah, baby!
There's a... There's actually an extended trailer. That's the teaser. If you want to watch the... No, you've seen enough.
Us.
I don't want to do anymore.
The Incredibles 2, the Olympic sneak peek. All right. That's the one. It's got 26 million views.
There better be skiing in this. Put Olympics in there.
Watch after Jack Jack.
A luge.
You heard your mother trampolining. We meet again.
Superheroes are illegal.
We want to fight bad guys.
I use bad guys.
It defines who I am.
We're not saying you have... What?
Someone on TV said it.
I was approached by this tycoon. Wants to talk I
love
about
Samuel Jackson.
Stuff.
Help me bring supers back into the sunlight. We need Elastigirl.
Bye, sweetie.
I'll watch the kids, no problem.
That's not the way you're supposed to do it, Dad. They want us to do it this way.
I don't know that way. Why would they change math? Math is math. Math is math.
Yeah. All over Dusseldorf. Dussels are dozing. Their eyelids so heavy, they're drooping.
Closing!
I couldn't have done this if you hadn't taken over so well.
I've got to succeed so she can succeed. So we can succeed.
I get it, Bob.
What the?
That is freaky.
But I can't keep giving him cookies.
Oh!
He's freaking. Nobody in a daddy.
What?
Done properly, parenting is a heroic act.
I don't know. It's just paused for some reason. Whoops, let me hit it. All right, we'll finish it out here.
Done properly.
So, I'm excited to see this one. I love the first one.
It's still playing. Stop.
I think it looks really fun. The first one was like a really fun surprise. This is now, how old's your daughter?
I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
You'll do math. But would she be excited for this movie?
Yes,
possibly.
Would she be excited for this movie?
Possibly.
Did you see the first one?
I did. I have seen, yeah, I have seen it.
Mm-hmm. Did you like it?
It was okay. It's a cartoon. I mean, I like the Hostels, okay? The Hostels movies, all right? So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I love the first one. Yeah. I like Pixar makes good stuff.
They
this
do.
Looks fun to me. So.
And I will say I've had that dad moment about math. like literally
it when happens. My kids. No, it's true.
Yeah, it is. The kids come home with this homework. I'm like, that's not how we learned how to do math.
Do you know why they did that?
No.
Okay, so they had a whole bit, not that anyone cares, but here you go. Because this is what we're dealing with as parents. It's true.
Yeah,
math has changed. This is a big fucking deal. They do math now in increments of 10, in groups of 10, and they want them to think like that because of the metric system and the way that math is done around the world. They want them to be able to do business globally. So they have now chunked everything into groups of 10, and they want them to do math in chunks. So there is an entirely new way to do math as opposed to this minus this equals this. It is absolutely true that they have changed the structure of how they math works. I'm not kidding.
Literally what? Doing multiplication and division. It's all different now. Like, I don't know. I was trying to help with homework. I'm like, that's not how I learned how to do it.
And they would get points off if they did it like the old school way. So,
the parent way.
You just got way older, everybody.
Wow.
Way older. That's not how we did it when we was my age. Whoa. We used to have to set it up with 100 minus 50 and draw a line underneath it.
So clearly the animators had kids. And that happened to them.
It's true. It's
another reason for me not to have children. Yeah. I love it.
So you don't have to redo math.
Not redoing math.
No.
But you can go see this movie and understand what it's like to be a parent. Like, even if they are superheroes, it does sometimes. Babies do screw everything up. Like I said, yes. So watch Incredibles 2 and see what parenting is like.
So it's kind of the theme of the DVD Blu-rays. We have Daddy's Home 2, and then we also have The Florida Project.
The Florida Project I never saw, but I hear it was this little independent film that came out. It looks very intriguing to me. I actually want to see this.
William Dafoe turns in a great performance. Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's also a coming-of-age kids movie about kids, but like younger kids. So it's... it looks really interesting. So, but it's another one of those movies that like was in the movie theater for like a week or whatever. It's at their heart. It's hard to find. So it should be on demand by now. So definitely check it out. And you know, you can forgive Willem Dafoe for doing like a bunch of bad movies in a row. So you can see him in this movie instead. Now, Site Spotlight, the fan feedback. We want to talk about the Academy Awards with you guys.
Sure.
We are going to be doing the Academy Awards commentary live.
Via YouTube?
But yes, YouTube. So you'll be able to check us out on the YouTube channel, and we'll be doing the...
the Super Chat, so you can ask us questions. We're going to, you know, we're going to do what we always have done where we, you know, give live commentary, but we'll be it'll be on video, and then you can type in questions or jokes or whatever, and there'll be the Super Chat thing, which is this cool thing that YouTube does. I've done it for Political Vigilante where you hit the dollar sign and then your question will absolutely read your question or joke or whatever. So,
and then we'll reread it on the air live, right?
That's what I mean by read. Yeah.
Read.
Oh, we'll read it.
Since it's a live show, I'm sorry if that was assumed.
I'm going to write in so you guys can read my stuff.
You're saying read orally?
Typically with a live video thing, that was, forgive me for making an insane assumption.
With your eyes, then in your head, then out your mouth. Read it three times.
Yeah.
So, Chris and I are going to be talking. We're not going to be telecommunicating.
I thought you meant I read. Okay.
We're not doing a psychic show. I need to make that delineation because sometimes.
Oh,
yeah.
Bummer. Okay,
yeah. So we don't have the psychic technology.
Maybe next Oscars.
Yes. Yeah. Well, okay. 2019.
Next studio.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get when they get psychic abilities here
at ATC.
Chris and I develop our own psychic skills. We'll do that. But for this Oscars, we're gonna read stuff that you write and speak it.
Yes.
That's so exciting, guys. This is,
yeah.
Well, now it's crystal clear.
Yeah, it's so vague before. That's
Everyone
my
knows
fault.
What to do.
I'm sorry. That's totally on
now,
me.
Now, one question I have though is like, what does like Super Chat cost? Like, how does like
whatever dollar amount you want to put in there?
So it's totally donation based.
Yeah, it's you can put you click the dollar while the thing is going live. While Chris and I are reading things with our eyes and then processing them through our brains and then speaking them.
Yes. This already takes 30 minutes.
I know. This is really got so extensive the way I spell it out. You will then see something using your eyes and your brain. You use your fingers to type it. And then you'll hit it's a dollar sign icon. And then you put in whatever dollar amount you want. Then that pops up for Chris and I to read and orate. And That's how it works. Now, Chris is making this 10 times more complicated than it needs to be. It is the simplest thing. I do it every week for my political show.
Now, if you pay more, does it stay up longer?
Yes. Yes.
What's the ratio from dollar to minute?
Boy, I don't have that information.
Break it down in increments of 10. Jesus.
Hey, Graham, how does the internet work?
So, yeah.
Could you group the numbers in groups of 10 to do the math?
Let us know.
A new way, how much it would cost.
Exactly. Two votes.
Yeah.
Two against one. Do it. Go. Like you have scratch paper right there and a pen.
Show your work.
Yeah. If you do it the old school way, it's a zero.
So if Chris has made you more confused, try to tune in to youtube.com/comedyfilmnerds during the Oscars, and I will walk you through the whole process. How video works, the internet, electricity, I'm going to get you through everything.
And the Oscars at the same time.
All yeah. If that's so not talented. Worth a super chat, I don't know what yeah. it is.
Wow, I'm guys.
Providing a service.
Yeah.
Love it.
So I give back to my fellow man.
So, all right. Well, we also want to thank you guys for all the emails and comments on the YouTube channel and also on the Facebook page. We have been reading a bunch of those. Like I said, we can't always answer all the emails, but if you send it to info@comedyfilmnerds.com, we do read everything that comes in.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right. Premiering this week, Game Night. This is a Jason Bateman comedy about where a bunch of adults get together. They play games, but then there's a murder mystery that happens during their game night, and they actually think it's part of the game.
Yeah.
So I did see the trailer.
Yes.
It made me laugh more than I thought it would. I have to say, it looks pretty funny.
Yeah, so, dark comedy. That is my jam. Mm-hmm. I'm so there for this. Yes.
Yeah, so it does. I'm hoping it's as good as the trailer makes it out to be.
Just don't go on a date with another baby like that guy that went on Hasa. I was like, this comedy's too dark. I didn't get it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He asked me for a ride home after the date. I was like, you can walk.
Uber, bitch. Walk. Go home.
I know. Kind of done with you insulting me for the night. So find your own way home forever. Bye. Yeah.
I want to see Annihilation. This looks really
good.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is this freaky alien invasion forest thing. I don't
know
what it is.
It does look like an alien invasion forest thing. Yeah.
I'm in.
It's something.
Like Avatar?
Something.
I haven't seen the previews. I don't know. Yes?
It's something that changes like the wildlife actually in the part of the forest and then it's expanding out.
Oh, I have seen it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They go behind a veil of mystery mist.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Natalie Portman and then there's like creatures.
There's crazy looking deer.
They're crossbreeding animals that were of Earth and now look dangerous.
And now
it's
the same filmmaker from Ex Machina.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So not like Avatar.
No.
More like Alien.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It looks good too. Very smart not to release on the same weekend as Black Panther.
Yeah.
So, and the next one is the trailer that we watched.
I'm excited too, real quick, to see Natalie Portman. She's this sort of like. Looks like some badass special op.
Badass scientist.
Who knows how to, who's the Green Beret scientist or something?
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah.
Some special
op.
Like,
Green
Beret science unit.
Right.
Special op.
Yeah.
Alien forest.
Yeah. Yep. Can handle an M16 and a lab coat.
I love it.
So,
She can probably read and speak at the same time.
We'll see.
Oh, yeah. She's super intelligent. I'm excited. Yeah.
And then of course the last movie is Every Day, the trailer that we saw.
You can't even say it without.
I can't. It looks so bad. It was one of those. Even like the music underneath the trailer was like, you should take this movie seriously. That kind of like, look, we're trying to manufacture emotion here.
I wonder unsuccessfully. How many times if you were to sit in the movie, you would literally have to go say out loud, yeah, we get it. Like how many times? I feel like they're just going to spoon feed this audience.
What if it's really good? What if it's like in the Oscars next year and you guys have to talk about this like telekinetically with each other? What if it's like just a really bad trailer and you have to psychically communicate about it on your life?
That could happen.
Podcast.
Yeah. It's very unlikely.
Right.
But it could happen.
It's possible, flying cars.
It has happened.
There's been plenty of times where there's where it's an awful trailer and one of us sees it and comes back and goes, man, this
man, you know what? The trailer, editor needs to get fired.
Yeah, like I've had movies and then like it's on a plane or something. I'm like, oh, they're all right. And I watch it and go,
Okay. We'll give it a chance.
I will mention this, though. There is a great teenage body swap movie that's actually animated called Your Name that I saw with my kids and we all really liked it. But they would swap into the same bodies every day, and then but they would leave each other notes like, stop spending my money in the coffee shop, like when they would wake up and the next day. So it was really fun, and then it had like a little science fiction through line to it, so it was a much smarter version of what we just saw. If you like teenage body swap movies, check out Your Name.
If that's your genre.
You're a plethora of teenage body swap movie information. This is great.
So well, that's our show, I think, everybody.
That is our show. We did it.
Sheila, where can people find you online or upcoming shows or anything like that?
SheilaShalaki.com, where I'm actually on YouTube as well. Same name with lots and lots of vowels, so I hope you guys link it somehow. Native American last name. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. My name everywhere at all the things. com.
Nice. And you can watch her March 9th on FNX. If you're not sure, do I have FNX in my area? Go to fnx.org and you can find out if FNX is carried by they're carried by like a local PBS. So that's March 9th. You can see her in the very first episode, the first ever Native American stand-up comedy TV series and first episode.
On PBS, where they do Sesame Street. The fact that I was on PBS. Mm. Take that, people I grew up with.
Not anymore. HBO bought it.
Exactly.
Oh, exciting times.
Yeah, and then I don't have exact dates on this, but the FNX Comedy Experience will be available digitally at some point in May or June. Mm. So if you don't get FNX in your area, you will be able to watch the series on like an Apple TV and stuff like that.
Can I read it?
Yeah. I will send you my stand-up routine.
Will, Chris, email Chris and he'll send you transcripts of everything.
Read my mind and I'll go through everything I did on set that day.
So when you say digital, will it be like, it'll be iTunes, Apple TV, all those
platforms? Roku, Google, all that stuff. So they're in the process of creating an FNX app. Mm-hmm. So you can watch it on like a smartphone or a tablet.
Oh, great.
I will make transcripts because nothing is better for comedy than writing it out and reading it.
Reading it, yeah.
That's just great for stand-up comedy.
You need it for closed captions, I'm sure.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. So we're going to start closed captioning everything so Chris understands how the internet works.
Yes. So I just need a file.
So I'm gonna get that PDF over to you, stat, Christopher. Check that out. And guys, we have 7 more episodes to shoot. We have one this Sunday, February 25th. If you go to my website, grahamelwood.com or fnx.org/comedy, this Sunday, February 25th, is the last time we're doing it on Sundays. Starting March 9th, we're gonna do episodes on Friday nights. We got access to the theater on Friday nights, which is great. So come on out, you guys. It's a fun show. It's some amazing comedians are coming up that you can see live, and you can buy tickets or hit me up. I'll hook you up with comps.
Ooh, nice.
So that's it, everyone. That's our show.
That's pretty exciting.
Pretty exciting.
We did it. We finished it. Episode 407, locked down and in the books.
Put in the books, guys. Transcribe it.
Yes.
Transcribe 407.
For
posterity's sake. Thank you to everybody here at ATC. We're loving the new studio. Thank you to Aaron Brungarn on the ones and twos. He
got a microphone.
He got a microphone.
Mm-hmm. I just have to reach to turn my volume up. But yeah, I'm here.
That sounded like a creepy euphemism for something.
Yeah, it did.
I got to reach to turn my volume up.
Yeah, and it took like way too long. Like there was a pause, like it was in another room.
Yeah, like the volume button is like under the table or something.
Yeah, it's not far. You're not far off.
Yeah. State of the art technology here at ATC. Thank you, everybody.
Can you imagine the engineers going, just make sure Aaron can't reach it.
Yeah, I want it out of arm's reach for Aaron. Don't want him too close. I don't want him to be like that guy that hit the missile launch button in Oahu.
No, he's got to work for it.
That's our show. Thank you so much, Sheila Shalaki, for being on the episode.
Thanks for having me. Mado, as my people say.
Nice. What's your tribe?
Muscogee Creek.
Right on. Yeah. And Madeau means?
Thank you.
You're welcome. And my name's Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.